I have not been graced with the ability to read Hebrew yet, nor have I had my bar mitzvah. So there might be a day when that will come. But for now, we will start reading right from the Tanakh. We are reading Parashah 17, Yitro, or Yethro, and that's in chapter 18 of Shemot, Exodus. Now Yitro, the priest of Midian, Moshe's father-in-law, heard about all that God had done for Moshe and for Israel, his people, how Adonai had brought Israel out of Egypt after Moshe had sent away his wife Zipporah and her two sons. Yitro, Moshe's father-in-law, had taken them back. The name of one was Gershom, a foreigner there, for Moshe had said, I have been a foreigner in a foreign land. The name of the other was Eliezer, my God helps, because the God of my father helped me by rescuing me from Pharaoh's sword. Yitro, Moshe's father-in-law, brought Moshe's sons and wife to him in the desert where he was encamped at the mountain of God. He sent word for Moshe, I, your father-in-law, Yitro, am coming to you with your wife and her two sons. Moshe went out to meet his father-in-law, prostrated himself, and kissed him. Then, after inquiring for each other's welfare, they entered the tent. Moshe told his father-in-law all that Adonai had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians of Israel's sake, all the hardships they had suffered while traveling, and how Adonai had rescued them. Yitro rejoiced over all the good that Adonai had done for Israel by rescuing them from the Egyptians. Yitro said, Blessed be Adonai, who has rescued you from the Egyptians and from Pharaoh, who has rescued the people from the harsh hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that Adonai is greater than all other gods, because he rescued those who were treated so arrogantly. Yitro, Moshe's father-in-law, brought a burnt offering and sacrifice to God, and Aharon came with all the leaders of Israel to share the meal before God with Moshe's father-in-law.
The following day, Moshe sat to settle disputes for the people, while the people stood around Moshe from morning till evening. When Moshe's father-in-law saw that all he was doing to the people, he said, What is this that you are doing to the people? Why do you sit there alone with all the people standing around you from morning till evening? Moshe answered his father-in-law, It's because the people come to me seeking God's guidance. Whenever they have a dispute, it comes to me. I judge between one person and another, and I explain to them God's law and teachings. Moshe's father-in-law said to him, What you are doing isn't good. You will certainly wear yourself out. And not only yourself, but these people here with you as well. It's too much for you. You can't do it alone by yourself. So listen now to what I have to say. I will give you some advice, and God will be with you. You should represent the people before God, and you should bring their cases to God. You should also teach them the laws and the teachings and show them how to live their lives and what work they should do. But you should choose from among all the people competent men who are God-fearing, honest, and incorruptible to be their leaders in charge of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Normally, they will settle the people's disputes. They shall bring you the difficult cases, but ordinary matters, they should decide themselves. In this way, they will make it easier for you and share the load with you. If you do this, and God is directing you to do it, you will be able to endure, and all the people, too, will arrive at their destination peacefully.
Moshe paid attention to his father-in-law's counsel and did everything he said. Moshe chose competent men from all Israel and made them heads over the people in charge of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. As a general rule, they settled the people's disputes, the difficult cases they brought to Moshe, but every simple matter they decided themselves. Then Moshe let his father-in-law leave, and he went off to his own country.
And in chapter 19, in the third month after the people of Israel had left the land of Egypt, the same day they came to the Sinai desert. After setting out from Rephidim and arriving at the Sinai desert, they set up camp in the desert. There in the front of the mountain, Israel set up camp. Moshe went up to God, and Adonai called to him from the mountain. Here's what you are to say to the household of Yaakov, to tell the people of Israel. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you will pay careful attention to what I say and keep my covenant, then you will be my own treasure from among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine, and you will be a kingdom of Kohen for me, a nation set apart. These are the words you are to speak to the people of Israel.
Moshe came, summoned the leaders of the people, and presented them with all the words which Adonai had ordered him to say. All the people answered as one, "Everything Adonai has said, we will do." Moshe reported the words of the people to Adonai. Adonai said to Moshe, "See, I am coming to you in a thick cloud, so that the people will be able to hear when I speak with you and also to trust in you forever." Moshe had told Adonai what the people had said. So Adonai said to Moshe, "Go to the people today and tomorrow, separate them for me by having them wash their clothing and prepare for the third day. For on the third day, Adonai will come down on Mount Sinai before the eyes of all the people. You are to set limits for the people all around and say, 'Be careful not to go up to the mountain or even to touch its base. Whoever touches the mountain will surely be put to death. No hand is to touch him, for he must be stoned or shot by arrows. Neither animal nor human will be allowed to live. When the shofar sounds, they may go up onto the mountain.'" Moshe went down from the mountain to the people and separated the people for God, and they washed their clothing. He said to the people, "Prepare for the third day. Don't approach a woman." On the morning of the third day, there was a thunder, lightning, and a thick cloud on the mountain. Then a shofar blast sounded so loudly that all the people in the camp trembled. Moshe brought the people out of the camp to meet God. They stood near the base of the mountain. When Mount Sinai was enveloped in smoke because Adonai descended onto it in fire, its smoke went up like the smoke from a furnace, and the whole mountain shook violently. As the sound of the shofar grew louder and louder, Moshe spoke, and God answered him with a voice.
Adonai came down onto Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain. Then Adonai called Moshe to the top of the mountain. And Moshe went up. Adonai said to Moshe, "Go down and warn the people not to force their way through to Adonai to see him. If they do, many of them will perish. Even the Kohanim who are allowed to approach Adonai must keep themselves holy. Otherwise, Adonai may break out against them." Moshe said to Adonai, "The people can't come up to Mount Sinai because you ordered us to set limits around the mountain and separate it." But Adonai answered him, "Go, get down, then come back up, you and Aaron with you, but don't let the Kohanim and the people force their way through to come up to Adonai, or he will break out against them." So Moshe went down to the people and told them. Then God said all these words, "I am Adonai, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the abode of slavery. You are to have no other gods before me. You are not to make for yourselves a carved image or any kind of representation of anything in heaven above, on the earth beneath, or in the water below the shoreline. You are not to bow down to them or serve them, for I, Adonai, your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but displaying grace to the thousandth generation of those who love me and obey my mitzvot. You are not to use lightly the name of Adonai, your God, because Adonai will not leave unpunished someone who uses his name lightly. Remember the day, Shabbat, to set it apart for God. You have 6 days to labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Shabbat for Adonai, your God. On it, you are not to do any kind of work, not you, your son, your daughter, nor your male nor female slave, nor your livestock, and not the foreigner staying with you inside the gates to your property. For in 6 days Adonai made heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, but on the seventh day he rested. This is why Adonai blessed the day, Shabbat, and separated for himself. Honor your father and mother, so that you may live long in the land which Adonai your God is giving you. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false evidence against your neighbor. Do not covet your neighbor's house. Do not covet your neighbor's wife, his male nor female slave, his ox, his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor.
All the people experienced the thunder, the lightning, the sound of the shofar, and the mountain smoking. When the people saw it, they trembled. Standing at a distance, they said to Moshe, "You speak with us, and we will listen. But don't let God speak with us, or we will die." Moshe answered the people, "Don't be afraid, because God has come only to test you and make you fear him, so that you won't commit sins." So the people stood at a distance, but Moshe approached the thick darkness where God was. Adonai said to Moshe, "Here is what you are to say to the people of Israel. You yourself have seen that I spoke with you from heaven. You are not to make with me gods of silver, nor are you to make gods of gold for yourself. For me, you need make only an altar of earth. On it, you will sacrifice your burnt offerings, peace offerings, sheep, goats, and cattle, in every place where I cause my name to be mentioned. I will come to you and bless you. If you do make an altar of stone, you are not to build it of cut stones, for if you use a tool on it, you profane it. Likewise, you are not to use steps to go up to my altar, so that you won't be indecently uncovered."
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who selected good prophets and was pleased with their words which were spoken truthfully. Blessed are you, O Lord, who chooses the Torah, your servant Moses, your people Israel, and prophets of truth and righteousness.
I'm reading from Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw Adonai sitting on a high, lofty throne. The hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphim stood over him, each with 6 wings, 2 for covering his face, 2 for covering his feet, and 2 for flying. They were crying out to each other, "More holy than the holiest holiness is Adonai Tzevaot. The whole earth is filled with his glory." The doorposts shook at the sound of their shouting, and the house was filled with smoke. Then I said, "Woe to me! I too am doomed, because I, a man with unclean lips, living among a people with unclean lips, have seen with my own eyes the King Adonai Tzavayot. One of the seraphim flew to me with a glowing coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. He touched my mouth with it and said, "Here, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is gone. Your sin is atoned for." Then I heard the voice of Adonai saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" I answered, "I am here, send me." He said, "Go and tell this people, yes, you hear, but you don't understand. You certainly see, but you don't get the point. Make the heart of this people sluggish with fat. Stop up their ears and shut their eyes. Otherwise, seeing with their eyes and hearing with their ears, then understanding with their hearts, they might repent and be healed." I asked Adonai, "How long?" And he answered, "Until cities become uninhabited ruins, houses without human presence, the land utterly wasted, until Adonai drives the people far away and the land is one vast desolation. If even a tenth of the people remain, it will again be devoured. But like a pistachio tree or an oak, whose trunk remains alive, after its leaves fall off, the holy seed will be its trunk."
Isaiah 7. During the days of Achaz, the son of Jotam, son of Uzziahu, king of Yehuda, Retzin, the king of Aram, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, advanced on Yerushalayim to attack it, but were unable to conquer it. It was told to the house of David that Aram and Ephraim had become allies. Achaz's heart began to tremble, as did the hearts of his people, like forest trees shaken by the wind. Then Adonai said to Yeshayahu, Go out now to meet Achaz, you and your son Shar Yashuv, at the end of the aqueduct from the upper pool on the road to the launderer's field, and say to him, take care to stay calm and unafraid. Don't be demoralized by these two smoldering stumps of firewood, by the blazing anger of Retzin and Aram, or the son of Remaliah, or because Aram, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have been plotting against you, thinking, we will invade Yehuda, take it apart, and divide it amongst ourselves, and appoint the son of Tabel as king there.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us Messiah Yeshua and the teachings of the new covenant. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the apostolic scriptures. Amen.
Matthew chapter 18, verse 18 to 30. Luke. One of the leaders asked him, "Good Rabbi, what should I do to obtain eternal life?" Yeshua said to him, "Why are you calling me good? No one is good but God. You know the mitzvot. Don't commit adultery, don't murder, don't steal, don't give false testimony. Honor your father and mother." He replied, "I have kept all these since I was a boy." On hearing this, Yeshua said to him, "There is one thing you still lack. Sell whatever you have, distribute the proceeds to the poor, and you will have riches in heaven. Then come, follow me." But when the man heard this, he became very sad, because he was very rich. Yeshua looked at him and said, "How hard it is for people with wealth to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to pass through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Those who heard this asked, "Then who can be saved?" He said, "What is impossible humanly is possible with God." Kepha said, "Look, we have left our homes and followed you." Yeshua answered them, "Yes, I tell you that everyone who has left house, wife, brothers, parents, or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will receive many times as much in the Olam Hazeh and in the Olam Haba, eternal life."
I'm reading from Romans 2, 17 to 29. But if you call yourself a Jew and rest on Torah and boast about God and know his will and give your approval to what is right, because you have been instructed from the Torah, and if you have persuaded yourself that you are a guide to the blind, a light in the darkness, an instructor for the spiritually unaware, and a teacher of children, since in the Torah you have the embodiment of knowledge and truth, then you who teach others, don't you teach yourself? Preaching, thou shalt not steal, do you steal? Saying, thou shalt not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? Detesting idols, do you commit idolatrous acts? You who take such pride in Torah, do you, by disobeying the Torah, dishonor God? As it says in the Tanakh, for it is because of you that God's name is blasphemed by the Goyim. For circumcision is indeed of value if you do what Torah says. But if you are a transgressor of Torah, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. Therefore, if an uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirements of the Torah, won't his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? Indeed, the man who is physically uncircumcised but obeys the Torah will stand as a judgment on you who have had a berit milah and have Torah written out but violate it. For the real Jew is not merely Jewish outwardly. True circumcision is not only external and physical. On the contrary, the real Jew is one inwardly, and true circumcision is of the heart. Spiritual, not literal, so that his praise comes not from other people, but from God.
It's Hebrews 12, 18 to 24. For you have not come to a tangible mountain, to an ignited fire, to darkness, to murk, to a whirlwind, to the sound of a shofar, and to a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further message be given to them, for they couldn't bear what was being commanded to them. If even an animal touches the mountain, it is to be stoned to death. And so terrifying was a sight that Moshe said, I am quaking with dread. On the contrary, you have come to Mount Zion, that is a city of the living God, heavenly Jerusalem, to the myriads of angels in festive assembly, to a community of the firstborn whose names have been recorded in heaven, to judge who is God of everything, to spirits of righteous people who have been brought to the goal, to the mediator of the new covenant, Yeshua, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks better things than that of Havel.
This is the Torah which Moses placed before the children of Israel. It is in accord with Adonai's command by the hand of Moses. A tree of life it is for those who take hold of it, and blessed are the ones who support it. Its ways are ways of pleasantness, and all its paths are peace. Long life is in its right hand, and in its left are riches and honor. Adonai was pleased for the sake of his righteousness to render the Torah great and glorious. When the ark rested, Moses would say, Return, O Adonai, to the myriads of Israel's families. Arise, O Adonai, to your resting place, you and your mighty ark. Oh, your priests in righteousness. May those who have experienced your faithful love shout for joy. For the sake of your servant David, don't delay the I give you good instruction. Do not forsake my Torah. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, asher natan lanu hadavar hachai b'mashiach Yeshua, Amen. Blessed are you, O Adonai, our God, ruler of the universe, who gives us the living word in the Messiah Yeshua.
Before I begin, I'd like to acknowledge all of the work that Michael has done, not only in preparing sort of the essence of this message, but a lot of what happened today. There was a lot of scramble, and thank God for Carol and Corey and others to help with that, and it worked out in the end. God's hand was here. Michael did all of that work, and he also had to prepare for him going to, Carol as well helped, sorry, yes, and Michael had to also prepare his message, because he's speaking today at Mission Fest, and he had to prepare the volunteers. So he has been very busy, so praise be to God for giving him strength and wisdom and using him.